You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Terrace Podcast. My name is Craig Cairns, and after a couple of weeks off, I'm back here with Chris Awelmo. How are you doing, Chris?
Good morning, Craig. Yeah, very good, thank you. Very good. Busy week ahead, so just doing as much prep as I can. Cramming, and then coming up to Scotland Friday and Saturday this week, and then obviously doing my bit for TalkSport on Sunday. So busy, can't complain.
Yeah, no, me too. And we were so busy that we couldn't even do any shows for the last couple of weeks, but we're back now. And in that time, so much has happened. We'll get to some of that later on. But first, we'll talk about one of your old clubs and their cup victory at the weekend. They beat Livingston 1-0 in the Betfred Cup final. Sean Rooney with the only goal of the game. You must have been delighted to see your old club lift another trophy.
Yeah, I was. You know, it's a fantastic achievement by, again, a good group of players. I'm delighted for Callum Davidson, you know, a club that he loves, you know, where it all started for him. You know, it was crazy. 1994, you know, it's a long time, isn't it? So, no, I'm delighted. You know, I think the game itself, it was an edgy one, wasn't it? It was just a tense affair. And like you say, that little bit of quality. You know, Sean Rooney as well, you know, fair play. You know, I think it's testament that, you know, when the chance comes, you have to take it. You know, I think McNamara's went down back to Millwall. I think they brought in another player as well.
James
from
Brown.
Millwall.
Yeah, James Brown is his name.
But again, you just have to make sure that when that chance comes, you make sure that you're on your front foot. You're at a level that you can come in and make a positive impact to the group. You know, he's a big character.
Yeah,
he's a big character, very enthusiastic. You know, one of those infectious characters around the dressing room that everyone will buzz off and love. And even though he's not playing, it's quite hard for a character like himself to not be like that. You know what I mean? So he's infectious to be around. So fair play to him that he's kept himself at a level. He scored what? He scored in the quarterfinals, the semi-final, and the final.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean? And that's from that kind of wing-back position as well, which is, you know what, it's one of the hardest positions to play, because if you look at it in modern football now, as a wing back, even as a full back, you're the position that probably sees most of the ball. You know, that's where you've got to do your job defensively, but offensively you've got to be right on the money, as in the service, the delivery, and even if you can bring goals to that as well, which he is, by the way. He's ticking all boxes, so he's not doing himself any harm whatsoever. Big summer coming, has he done enough? You know, I think it's from now to the end of the season that's it's going to warrant if Steve Clark includes him or not. But as I say, he's on the right path at the minute.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think if he continues this between this kind of form, he can't be ignored in the summer, basically, because that's a position where we could potentially upgrade on or upgrade our backup at least. I do think that there's potentially a position there in the squad for him. But it could just be that this is a bit of a purple patch and he doesn't maintain this form and he's maybe not quite good enough. But I'd like to think that he is, because to add to what you've said about wing-backs there as well, they're expected to get up and down the side of the pitch all day and be really fit, and he just seems like he's got the drive, and he's even got a bit of quality as well and a set piece threat. And I think that's something else that would get Steve Clark's attention, the fact that he's getting his head on a lot of set pieces and putting quite a lot of them in the back of the net as well. And about his interview, I'd never heard him interviewed before, and it was brilliant because it was just unfiltered. It was everything from him tearing up talking about his late mum to saying, well, if Callum Davidson had played me all season, maybe we wouldn't be in the bottom six and all this kind of stuff. I just thought it was absolutely, absolutely brilliant.
You know, that's something that you've got to kind of commend him on. You know, so many times that players have got to kind of watch what they say because they're scrutinised so much. So it's happened a couple of times, you know, like we Ryan Christie after we qualified. Yeah. You know, it's like that unfiltered, and we all relate to it because, you know, it's been a difficult year and a half for everyone. So I'm delighted for him. Like you say, that I think the competition for places, you know, what you've got Liam Parnell, Stephen O'Donnell, who's winning, I think done very well in that position. But again, he's more suited. I think he's more athletic. He's got a presence. He's got that little bit of quality. And like you say, that aggression from set pieces as well, and actually scoring goals from set pieces, it can only be a positive. You see a purple patch, but there's a lot of players that don't have those purple patches. If he can maintain it, if he can actually... What a great time to come into form, by the way.
Exactly.
You know, so again, if he can maintain it, and he'll know exactly what on it. And obviously, Callum Davidson is shouting from the rooftops as well that he's definitely got the quality to go in there and do a job for Steve Clark.
Did you get much media training when you were playing? Was that like a common thing to happen?
No, to be fair, it wasn't. I have to say, I've been stitched up a few times.
I remember you telling me when you were asked a yes no question, and the guy took that as you actually saying the line or something. Was that right?
Was it? Yeah. I remember it was. I have to put before I got into the Scotland squad. It was I have to put a Mick in front of my Mick Willimo, and I just kind of laughed. I never even said yeah or no, and basically it was quoted in the paper that I'd said it. So I was very weary at that point, and that's what I'm trying to say. It's like I went over to Denmark very early on, and it was one of those things you don't really get taught. I think at the clubs now, you've always got the media officer beside you. They're recording everything as well, so if there is any issue with a quote, they've got it. They're backed up. You'll know that by when you do your interviews, Craig. There is always probably a media person from the club, a representative there, recording the interview as well. And that's because people do get a little bit naughty sometimes. So I think more and more you're seeing this kind of unfiltered, and it's more relatable. We don't want the same bog standard answers, the football cliches, you know. We want that honesty because that's what we relate to. They're human beings at the end of the day. And it was fantastic to see that raw emotion from Rooney.
I just thought the whole celebration, I actually enjoyed the post-match more than I did the match. It wasn't the greatest game. It was pretty interesting.
Well, you've got to feel for Murray Davidson, surely. You've got a interview and how devastated he was. You know, he was injured the last time when I was at the club.
So what's that like for a player, knowing that they're not going to be involved, like in the whole build-up the week? So going back to like 2014, what's that like for a player, like seeing everybody else getting ready and buzzing and knowing you're not going to be involved?
Yeah, it is devastating. Now, just being injured as a player is devastating, Craig. Watching the guys come into the physio room, go out to training, coming in, having that kind of the little buzz and the laugh around, and you're not really involved in it, that's difficult. But when there's big occasions like this, it's even worse. You know, it's quite interesting when you read Murray Davidson's interview when he said the last time in 2014 he got injured in January. So he wasn't really he never really felt part of it, but it was easier to take because the boys went on and they qualified, they went through round, and then obviously the final came around and it was just good to be around. It was fantastic at the club, a club that he loves. But he was not man of the match the game against Hibs?
I was going to say he had played a big part in them getting to the final this time. Yeah, yes. I'm sure he scored in one of the rounds as well, if I remember correctly.
Exactly. And the thing was, the injury that he took, it was touch or go. It was a 6-week injury. Probably another week, he would have probably made some sort of appearance. So it's a hard one to take. That's a club that he loves. They're two big cup finals where they both go on and win. And he was at the club. He was a player at the club, and he's not went there. And I think the boys got him included in going and getting on there and lifting the trophy and all that. Which was great. You know, so it was quite brutal honesty from him as well. And it kind of, you can see that emotion, how devastated he was. He said that he feels that he's let his family down, his daughter. You know, and it really touches you, doesn't it?
Because yeah, it does.
I don't think we realise. Well, I don't think people that haven't played the game realise. That just being injured is hard enough, but being injured when there's such great success mm-hmm. that the club is experiencing, and you're a big part of that as well, by the way, it must be devastating for him. So I feel for him, but delighted in the professionalism that he showed.
Yeah, the personal side of footballers is something that I've definitely come to appreciate more in recent years. When I was younger,
not just footballers, Craig, managers as well.
Yeah, well, everybody involved. Yeah, of course. Yeah,
human beings.
Exactly. I think that does get lost a lot, and it was definitely lost on me for a lot of my football supporting life. It's something that I've definitely come to appreciate a lot more. But yeah, the Murray Davidson one. I mean, Murray Davidson's this kind of player where if it wasn't for his injury history, he would have been long gone from St Johnstone by now. So he's one of these ones who kind of, one of the reasons he's still at St Johnstone is because he's prone to injury, and that's kind of hindered him a bit, because the guy's got so much talent, and he was like bought for like 50 grand. I'm sure it was from Livingston, wasn't it? But yeah. Him and Dave McKay at the same time for like 50 grand or something like that. And just what a bargain. It just really sums up how well St Johnstone's been run over the years, I guess.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, I think he is a fantastic player. You know, I think he's got some great talent. And you're right, you know, if it wasn't for the injuries he's had, he'd be way, way gone. You know, I think the thing about it as well, when you have these injuries and you come back and you strengthen things, then you change your body mechanics and you come back, and it creates other issues. So, you know, hopefully he comes back and he keeps himself fit and just plays as much as he can, because he is massive for the football club, and he's been well looked after at the football club as well, but he's been a great servant.
Yeah. Hopefully they get to another cup final for him. I mean, I don't know how long he's got left, but hopefully they get to one more cup final for him. One more person I want to touch on before we move on, and that's Callum Davidson. I think this guy has a huge future in the game as a coach, doesn't he? I mean, he's already well regarded down south. He's already been taken on by the likes of Gary Rowett at some decent sized clubs in England, and now he's come up here, he's picked a job that really, really fits him, he knows the club inside out, and he's won a trophy on his debut season. It just looks like this guy's really going to go somewhere in the game, doesn't it?
He is the real deal, I have to say. You know, as a person, you know, I think man management, they say, is 80% of coaching and being a manager. You know, I think he knows the club, he knows he can handle the politics upstairs. When I was at the club, obviously Tommy Wright had his heart issues, so Callum Davidson came in and took over for a period of what, 5, 6, 7 games. So again, he knows it. But again, he's been down in England. Gary Rowett had him at Derby, Stoke City, Millwall. So, you know, I like Callum. I've got a lot of time for him. I think as a coach, I thought he was outstanding. I thought the sessions that he put on really looked at the individuals, but as a collective as well. I think he improves players. He has a strong identity of what he wants his team to go out and do. And I think, but he's got a fantastic way of putting that to the players. He's got a fantastic way of including certain training exercises to improve that and implement that kind of brand of football that he wants to play. You know, and as well as that, you can just listen to him all day. He loves football. He loves football, but he can also talk to you about the the private side of life, you know, and be. He's, I know from a fact, as a manager, as a person, that his door's always open, that the players can go to him and talk to him about anything, and he'll come down. He'll have the respect of all players, but he can come down hard. He's got that side to him as well, that if someone's taking the mickey, that he can be ruthless, and you have to have that as a manager. So I can't talk highly enough about Callum. I think he's, again, he's done something in his debut season, which, what a fantastic return. You know, Tommy Wright said when he walked away from the job that Callum's inheriting a fantastic group of players. He's come in, he's implemented it, he's tweaked a few things, but they shouldn't be where they are in the Premier League. You know, they've dominated games, they've created chance after chance, and he's been critical of is they've not finished those chances. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it comes down to. You know, so hopefully from this they'll kick on. They'll have that era of confidence. They've won the cup, and can they now put that kind of form into the league and just grind out results? You know, they're already playing with a brand of football that we all like to watch, but it's about getting results, putting points on the board now.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to be coming in a bit of form now. They certainly have in recent weeks, and I mean, they've done so. He's stuck to his guns. At the start of the season, like you said, they were creating chances but not really scoring, and he's kept the same shape. He's persisted largely with the same shape. He's obviously tweaked it here and there. I mean, every manager does, but he's not. The point I'm trying to make is he's not just all ripped it up and started again. He's not like panicked and done anything like that, like some managers can do. He's stuck to it. He's believed in the players that he's got, and yeah, he's getting results now, and he's won a cup in his debut season, which is absolutely fantastic. We'll move on now to the second thing we're going to talk about, and that is your team, Chris, Celtic. A lot's happened since we last spoke, yeah. And the main thing, I suppose, is Neil Lennon has resigned. Do you think the time had come? Do you think that was the right decision for him to go in the end?
Yeah, you know, this is a difficult one for me because I've got a lot of respect for Neil. You know, I've read a lot about what he's saying, and I understand where he's coming from about the bloodlust and people wanting him out of his job. Now, we understand that this season was going to bring more pressure than any season's previous, because the 10 in a row was a chance. Rangers were definitely right on par with how competitive it was going to be, you know. So it's a result business, and he understands that, and he understands that there's going to be criticism for the performances and the results. But then when it goes a little bit further than that, and he says that the media has had an agenda, and I think the media has always had an agenda, in fairness, with when it comes to Celtic and Rangers now, but he's got to be prepared, and he's got to know that he's going to get asked those difficult questions being in that hot seat. You know, I think he's batted it away and he's done very well, but then when the pressure has got too much, you could see the cracks. You know, you really could. And I think for his own, as a human being, as what he's done, you know, I think you can't really argue with how great he's been for Celtic as a player and as a manager, you know. But if he feels that he's taken the club as far as he can, and there's going to be a massive change, I think there's got to be a complete overhaul of players. You know, there's some great quality there, and the players have got to take responsibility as well. And it's something that I've said for a long time, Craig, that they've fallen short. They've been asked a question and they've not had the answers too many times this year. There's been too many individual errors. You know, the manager takes the brunt of that, but the players have to step up, and they have done on occasion and said, you know what, this is us, this comes down to us, I'd like it a little bit more so. But there's been a lot of negativity for the fact that it has been so much pressure. You know, the fans, how they've reacted to players' cars, the buses and all that, was, you know, it was a disgrace. It was an absolute disgrace, and that's the negativity, that dark cloud that's hung over the club. So yeah, it's difficult. Because, you know, you're still thinking, you know what, the way that the form is going, that defeat against Ross County just epitomised what the season was all about, and it was devastating for me, you know, watching it. But, you know, it's football at the end of the day. There's a lot more serious things going on in the world, but the players have to bounce back, they have to come back, and it's going to be a rebuild for the next campaign, I feel.
I think I agreed with Lennon to an extent that I think there were a few occasions where he was asked things that were maybe a little bit disrespectful. I think there are, I'm not going to name any names, but I think there are a few people who sometimes are chasing a headline with their question, and it can be at the expense of showing any compassion for the person that you're interviewing, or any kind of thought about how, about their well-being. And I actually think it got to the point where I thought Celtic had a duty to relieve Lennon of his duties, because I think it was getting to the point where for his own health he needed to get away from that job, because every interview he was getting angry with whoever was asking questions. God knows what was going on behind the scenes between him and the players, and I just think that there's no doubt in what he's achieved in the game as a player and a manager and that kind of thing, but things sometimes naturally come to an end, and I think things naturally came to an end a while ago for Lennon and Celtic, and I think they've both kind of clung on, and I really do think that, like I say, for his own health, it's probably a good thing that he's away from it just now.
Well, they've both clung on because they have such a great relationship.
Yeah.
And this is the thing. So if I'm the owner and I'm going to him and I'm saying, look, how you feeling? He says, well, right, I need to work on this, this and this. You know, right, okay, we know, we love you to bits. That relationship is stronger than ever. Okay, the results and the performance haven't been great, but he's going to have the support of the club. But then, like you say, I think Neil himself and the people close to him have said, you know what, this is damaging you now. This is really taking an effect, not only on what you're doing and what you're in front of, but when you bring it home, when you walk in that door and you're supposed to leave it outside, he's bringing it in, and that's, I think that's what has made him make this choice, you know. So you know what, you can't argue with what he's done for the football club, and we wish him all the best, but he needs to take some time away from the game, recharge, and then go again when that time's right.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And what about something I wanted to ask you? Obviously, you're a pundit now, and how is there difficulties in when you are criticising people, and maybe like you're asked the question? I'm talking more generally beyond Lennon, just in general, talking about managers losing their jobs and things like that. Is that something that you try not to do, or is it something that you approach a certain way? Are there difficulties in it? Especially if it's someone that you know, that you're maybe friends with or something.
Definitely, yeah, there is difficulties in it. You know, it's we all know that the game is ruthless. We all know that it's a result business, and the people in the hot seat know that as well. You know, it's I try and be brutally honest. You know, and that's something that it is hard. I have had a lot of friends in the hot seat at clubs, and then I've got to comment on them. And there's some that I agree with, it's the right way to go, and there's some that I don't agree. But again, it's just my honest opinion on it, and I'll always give them a call afterwards, even if they have heard my interview, and I have said, you know what, it's going on too long now. You know, the manager himself, if he sat in front of the group of players and he knows that he can't get them singing that tune or whatever it may be, then it's that time, and you have that kind of honest conversation. But it's not something you can shy away from, because it's something that happens so often in the game of football. So if a team is performing poorly, or they've got a run of bad results but performing well, then you always try and look for that out. You always try and look, you know what, the team's still performing well, he's still getting them doing what, but it's still individual errors that's costing them points. They need to address that. If they don't, then they're putting the club in a difficult position. So you just have to be honest with it, Craig. You know, I wouldn't say that I shy away from it. If I'm asked a question, I'll look at it and I'll give it my honest opinion on Neil Lennon. I know why he stuck it out for so long. I know why the club gave him the time, because of what he'd done, what he's done in the past, his reputation, the relationship they had. But I know now that he's walked away that he's done it for the right reasons, and the most important reasons, which is his health.
And looking forward, do you have any idea what kind of appointment Celtic should go for? I mean, obviously they still need to appoint. People are saying that they should probably appoint their sporting director before they look at their new manager. But is there any type of manager, or any names? Your old mate Eddie Howe, for instance.
Yeah, well, you know, Eddie Howe, I thought he was a fantastic coach. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought he was one that really improved. He had a real identity about how he wanted to play his football. I thought his man management skills where could be improved on, you know, because the way that we, the relationship that we had, but as a coach and a manager, I thought he was excellent. And like you say, if he had belief in you, he would put 100% into you, you know. So again, I think it has to be a long-term job, you know. It has to be a long-term view, you know. Eddie Howe, is he thinking is to do what Brendan Rodgers has done is to come in for a year, 2 years, and then try and get that move back down south, you know. It's one of them. It has to be a longer term contract, and that has to be a long term viewpoint, you know. I done my badges with John, and a fantastic guy, you know. I think he turned down the Hibs job, didn't he, before he went in as Neil Lennon. So
yeah, I think he was mentioned for the Motherwell job. I don't know how close he was, but I think he was mentioned for that as well. And he's highly thought of at the club. They do see him as a future manager there, don't they?
Yeah. No, but he's fantastic. Like you say, I done my B licence and my A licence with John, and he is a brilliant character, fantastic student of the game, and you can just see the way that he holds himself. He has that respect, you know. So again, it's one of them. We'll see how it plays out for John, but there's going to be a few. It's a massive job, you know, but there is a big job ahead as well, the whole rebuilding process, you know, because I think the way that Rangers are at the minute, they're the team to beat, aren't they? You know, they're the one that's setting the pace at the minute, and there's a bit of a gap there between Celtic and Rangers at the minute, and it pains me to say that.
Well, from a team looking for a new manager to a team that should be looking for a new manager, I know you're not going to let me. We were arguing off air before we came on. I was talking about how I'm not happy with how Hearts are doing, and you weren't allowing me to not be happy about how Hearts are doing. I'm not calling for Robbie Nielsen to go. That was a bit of an exaggeration. I am still a bit concerned, though, because the narrative seems to be, again, at Hearts that we need another rebuild in the summer. And I'm just thinking, how many summers are we going to go into saying we need another rebuild? I would be happy, given the circumstances at the moment, with COVID and all these kind of things, the fact that we've been relegated unfairly in the first place and all that kind of stuff, or with the season being cut short, I'd be happy just to get up any which way and then see how we get on next season. If I kind of saw some sort of plan being put in place or some building blocks towards us kind of becoming a more complete team, and I just don't see it. I see these signings coming in that are not really cutting it. I see us persisting with players that aren't playing well every week. I see us persisting with the same way of trying to play and it not working. And yeah, I don't know. And we've drawn the last three games and just looked really poor and all. But we're going behind in so many games. We're just not dominating enough. And when you're a team that's got, we're supposed to be running away with it, and I know that doesn't mean that you absolutely will. I still think we should be performing a bit better from week to week. Tell me I'm wrong, Chris.
Well, I think you're wrong. I'll be honest with you, I think you're wrong. You know, I think the only question that you can throw at Hearts before a ball was kicked this year is promotion. They're sitting in first place. They're 12 points clear. I know Wraith have got a couple of games in hand. But even if they win those couple of games in hand, they're still 6 points behind. You know, doesn't matter how they got up. They're still, you're talking about the results, unbeaten in six, drawn the last three, and all of those games, they are dominant. You know, when you said they are dominant.
Yeah, we create a lot and don't score. Yeah,
well, you said they're not dominant. So I'm just saying, yeah.
They are dominant. We're not skeleton teams.
What they're guilty of is not converting their chances.
Yeah.
And that's, so I understand that you want it to be a fantastic brand of football, which, to be fair, the games that I've caught have been.
I'm starting to sound like a Celtic fan. Is that what you're saying?
No, well, it's, you've got every right.
Play the Celtic way.
But what you've got to realise is that in difficult times, after getting relegated when you shouldn't have been relegated, they're sitting top of the table, 12 points clear. They're unbeaten in six. Okay, they've drawn the last three, but if they got that first goal, they would have went on to win those games comfortably. And it's something that Robbie Nielsen's, he's come out and he's actually said to the players, they have to have that ruthless killer streak about them. It can't be, you know what, we're enjoying this game of football, it's going to happen. Be that person that makes it happen. Be that ruthless, twist the sword. You understand? It's not just nice, oh yeah, we're playing this nice brand of football, we're on top. Because one moment of quality from the other team in a game that they don't deserve, I think the Morton game, they scored with a first attempt on goal in the second. But that's, so what, you're just saying that they're not dominant, Craig? Attempt on goal was in the 70th minute.
I chose my words wrong. What I was meaning was they're not blowing teams away. We're not scoring loads of goals from week to week is what I mean.
Yeah, and that's what you can criticise about. But coming up, getting promoted, Hearts are going to get promoted. There's no arguments about that.
Yeah.
Hearts are going through a bit of a funny spell at the minute. They're still unbeaten in six.
I just worry how this team would do in the Premiership.
Don't think about it. Don't think about it, because I think you've got seven, eight players out of contract in the summer. You know, again, there'll be a few of them that will be getting let go. That then creates up space to bring in some quality. Robbie Nielsen is scouting network, the recruitment policy. You know what? I think there'll be some good quality coming in, but the job's not done yet. So don't get ahead of yourself. They'll have players that they'll be very well aware of. But again, until it is secured, they can't then put those contracts signed. But don't worry so much. You know, like you're saying, you're disappointed. Okay, they've drawn the last three. Yeah, criticise them for the chances that they're missing, but it's still a nice brand of football. It's still creative football. They are creating a lot of chances. And yeah, criticise the chances that are missed. You know, it's the hardest thing to do in football, Craig, is put the ball in the back of the net. At the minute, they're falling short, but again, they're coming back in games. They're conceding the first goal and they're showing the character and the quality to come back and not lose games. Do not lose football matches. Keep putting points on the board, and that's exactly what Hearts are doing. So I just feel, let's not think about, oh, what will this team be like in the Premiership? Because you're not in the Premiership, mate. You're in the Championship at the minute.
But cheers for rubbing it in.
You're sitting in the number one spot. You will be playing Premiership football next year. There will be a lot of players going out, a lot of players coming in. Hopefully the fans are back. And again, that then gives Hearts more firepower, because it's a massive club, mate. Massive club.
Yeah, you know I'm a warrior. I need more Chris. Well, I'm more, sorry, I've got your name wrong again. I'm just going to say Chris. I need more Chris in my life. I need more positivity, I think. you can come back. So I think we should just leave it there. I think we've gone over time. I think you've put me in my place. I need to go away and think about the way I think about my own football team, I think.
Don't, man. Absolute pleasure as always, mate.
And thanks everyone for listening. Be sure to check out all the other content we have going up, including on our Patreon. And we'll see you again next week. Sports Social Podcast Network.